as we started to say, you know, this year is obviously very different than all other years. This year, Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is being given on Thursday night. And because of that, because obviously there's such unique circumstances, what I'd like to try and do tonight is address one of the oldest, most famous parts of the Seder and really try and look at it through the eyes of the Malbim. The Malbim was one of the great Mefarshim on all of Tanakh. He wrote Mamish on every Sefer in Tanakh, the Malbim. He lived in the 19th century, and he really tried to focus on the nuances of the text. And he did that not only with all of Tanakh. Wherever the Malbim wrote, he would focus on words. And there's one word of a very, very famous song in the Haggadah that, according to the Malbim, totally, totally changes the understanding of the Haggadah. And I think that the Malbim's understanding of the Haggadah, that actually is also reflected by an idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik brought in the Sefer of his Talmud, Rav Michal Shurkin, in the Harei Kedem, Chelek Beis, helps us really, I think, understand our approach to Pesach these days, and really a whole approach to life. Really, I think this is about the gestalt, the perspective that we're supposed to have, certainly a very important Torah perspective, and the psychologists who are listening will tell me whether or not it confirms with current psychological recommendations. But the song that I'm talking about is a song that we already find, a piyut, a poem, that's already found in the Seder of Rav Amram Gon. Rav Amram Gon was one of the leaders of Babylonian Jewry in the city of Sura in the 9th century. And Rav Amram Gon, in his Seder, the Seder that he has for us, he already has the piyut of Dayenu. And so that means you're talking about Dayenu is at least 1100, probably closer to 1200 years old. It is one of the oldest standard songs that we have in our Jewish community that is not from Tanakh itself. Obviously, we have songs called Shir HaMalos that are older than Dayenu. And what I'd like to do tonight is really to talk about Dayenu. And very often, the understanding of Dayenu, of what it really means, is, I think, brought home by an interview that, well, not an interview, by a rant on by an Israeli mother named Shiri Kenigsberg Levy. Shiri Kenigsberg Levy of Ashkelon went on a rant. Millions of people saw it. If you did not yet see it, and you have kids at home who are virtually learning, definitely see what she wrote. She was interviewed by all major media outlets throughout the world, and she said in the video that it's die, that it's enough. What's going on with all her kids and the online learning, and they have to split four kids, two computers, and checking in on the kids, and she just says, die, it's enough. It was making her crazy. And die, meaning enough, is how most Mefarshim understand what Dayenu in fact means, right? Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim v'lo asavahem shefatim, Dayenu. That if Hashem had took us out of Egypt and had not brought judgment against the Egyptians, Dayenu, it would have been enough. It would have been enough. And this interpretation of Dayenu, of course, leads to some very famous questions. For example, Ilu kervanu l'fnei har Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah, Dayenu? That if Hashem would have brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, that would have been enough. Why would that have been enough? Hashem told Moshe by the Sneh Boer Ba'esh. Hashem told Moshe by the burning bush. By the way, where was the burning bush? The burning bush was at Har Sinai. Hashem tells Moshe at the burning bush that I'm going to take you out so you can come to this mountain and serve me here. Right? The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Satorah. How could it be Ilu Kervanu Lefnei HaSinai V'lo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah Dayenu? How could it be enough if Hashem brought us out of Egypt, brought us through the Yam, brought us to the foot of Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, Dayenu? That wouldn't have been enough. We would have been happy by that. That wouldn't have been enough. Why would we have been satisfied? And so there are many, many famous Mefarshim that have different approaches to what it means, and I'd like to examine some of those. But before that, again, we'll see if we get to that, how long I go, but don't want to keep everyone too long. But what I want to try and understand is the Malbim's interpretation. The Malbim has a very different interpretation, because if you remember, before we start the song, Ilu, Ilu, Hotzianu, Hotzianu, right? Before we start the song, what do? There is a line that's an intro to the whole poem. That's a line that's an intro to the whole song. And what is the line? And this is the key. Kama ma'alos tovos la'makom aleinu. Kama malos tovos la'makom aleinu. And the key to Dayenu is, how do you translate that line? Most Haggadahs, you will find a translation along the lines of how many or so many levels of favors has God bestowed upon us. Kama malos tovos la'makom aleinu. How many favors has God bestowed upon us? That's how many translate it. And therefore, we go through a list of 15 favors, 15 milos, 15 great things that Hashem did for us. A milo, that's a great thing, a great attribute, right? So 15 great things Hashem did for us. And not only this, but even if he didn't do that, Dayenu, it would have been enough. It would have been enough for us. Right? That would have been enough. And that leads to all the questions. What do you mean it would have been enough? It would have been enough if we didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. Why would it have been enough to stay in the desert? That wouldn't have been a fulfillment of the promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's no way that would have been enough. So what does that mean? So what the Malbim says is that really there's a translation of the word ma'alos. Ma'alos is not from the Lashon of steps, that there were 15 stages we went through. And each stage, it's really enough. Each stage would have been enough on its own. That's it. Because it's not true. That's not true. Took us out of our Sinai. Didn't give us a Torah. Took us out of Mitzrayim. Didn't give us the Torah. Gave us a Torah. Didn't let us come into Eretz Yisrael. Why would that have been enough? That wouldn't have been enough. Right? We know after the Chet of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to wipe them out? What about your promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to bring them into the land? And we see that was a winning taina. That was a winning argument that Moshe had against Hashem. And Hashem said, fine, you're right. I won't destroy them. So it would have been enough if you didn't bring us into the land? No, it wouldn't have been enough. And so the Malbim explains that really the way to understand this, and there are other textual problems with interpreting Kama Malos Tovos La'makom Aleinu, how many levels of favors had God bestowed upon the Jewish people. I'm literally reading that translation out of a Haggadah, or modern Haggadah, not a Haggadah from the 50s, not the Maxwell House Haggadah, not my brother's Haggadah either, okay? My brother has a very complicated translation, trying to mix the Malbim and the other Mepharshim. But, you know, I think he should have gone with one or the other. You know, trying to mash up sometimes doesn't work as well. But the idea of the Malbim is that Milos doesn't mean steps. Where we see it means steps in other places. For example, Shir Hamalos, a song of the steps, a song of ascent, right? That corresponded, the 15 Shir Hamalos is in Tilim, from Kuf Chaf through Kuf Lamed Dalet, correspond to the 15 steps that brought a person up to the courtyard in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Avoda was taking place. But how does the Malbim translate Malos? The Malbim translates Malos as praises. We know from Shabbos Shachris in the morning, Makalos Rivos Amcha Beis Yisrael, La'alei Ulekales. What does La'alei Ulekales mean? It means to praise. La'alei is a form of praise. So now, what does that mean? If we're going to translate it a little differently, it's not Kama Malos Tovos La'makom Aleinu. Right? How many great things, Milos, how many great things did Hashem do for us? But rather, it's Kama Malos Tovos La'makom Aleinu. How many praises, Kama Malos Tovos, how many praises are incumbent upon us? La'makom, to give Hashem Aleinu, that we have to do. What the Malbim says is that Dayenu is not about saying that would have been enough, it would have been enough if you didn't give us the Torah. It would have been enough if we stayed in the desert without going to Eretz Yisrael. No, it wouldn't have been enough. It wouldn't have been enough. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah at Har Sinai. And the purpose of having the Torah at Har Sinai was to create a covenant with Hashem that would find its fulfillment where? Only in Eretz Yisrael. As we know, the Ramban says famously in his commentary on the Torah, based upon the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksubos, that we're not meant to be living here, Chevra. Right? In the Seder, we're going to say, Hashat HaHachal, Lashana HaBa, Ba'arad Yisrael. that now we're here, but next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Magid, during Lach Ma'anya. After Chasal Sidu Pesach, at the beginning of Nirtza, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim, Abnuya. Next year, we shouldn't be, this year, we didn't say it yet. It wasn't Chasal Sidur Pesach. We hope that this year, there'll be Yeshua Hashem Kerif Ayin, and all the achanas that we're making will be brought to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll have Korban Pesach together in just a few days, in less than a week. But Kama Malas Tovas Lamakum Aleinu doesn't mean how many great things God did for us, and Dayenu, each step would have been enough. But Dayenu, how many praises are incumbent upon us to give to the Ribono Shel Olam? And Dayenu, each step independently is mechayiv us, obligates us in saying thank you and giving praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. What does this mean? I want to share with you a story that recently happened. It's been making its way around, but the rabbinic colleague that sent it to me told me he heard from a close friend in the Five Towns. Is a Maisa Shai Kachaya. There's a true story that happened. That there was a 78-year-old Jewish man that Rachmana Litzlan got sick. But Baruch Hashem, Yeshua Hashem, he didn't have to go on a ventilator, and he was able to walk out on his own. And when he was given the bill, he was given a bill, and he looked at the bill and he started crying. And the person said, "What's wrong?" Gave him the bill, and he said, it was a frum Jew that gave him the bill, said, "No, what's wrong?" He goes, "Look at this, the oxygen that I was on for 24 hours. You're charging me $5,000 for this." And he said, "Don't worry, but there's insurance. You have insurance." "No, you're over 65. You have Medicare, you have Medicaid. Don't worry, this is just what we charge. Don't worry, you're not going to have to pay this." And the man looked at him and he said, "No, you misunderstand me. I'm not crying because of the bill of $5,000. I'm crying because I had 24 hours of oxygen and your health center was charging me $5,000 for it. I'm thinking, how many hours of oxygen has the Ribono Shel Olam given me over the course of my life? How many times did I pay the Ribono Shel Olam? How have I thanked God for how many 24 hours of oxygen the Ribono Shel Olam has given me over my whole lifetime?" David HaMelech ends Tehillim with the pasuk, "Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Yah, Hallelujah." Kol Neshima Neshima, Chazal say what David HaMelech is telling us, I'll call Neshima Neshima. On each and every breath, a person is mechuyev to give praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. I'll call Neshima Neshima. On every breath, we have to give praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Malbim is telling us a Yesod Gadol, that what we have to understand is that throughout our lives, of course, we always look at the goals. We all have goals. But we have to recognize every step along the way is significant. It's not a sum total. It's not, you know, either we got it or we don't. As the Gemara in Brachos says, as a siyum is said at every siyum, and as many people are going to be making siyum on Erev Pesach come Wednesday, that anu amelim v'heim amelim, anu amelim mekabalim sachar, v'heim amelim v'einam mekabalim sachar. When a person toils in Torah, the toiling itself is reward. Even if you don't meet your goal, even if you never misayim the mesechta, even if you never accomplish the goal that you thought you wanted to accomplish, what you have to recognize is every bit of amelus that you put in, every bit of toil that you put in, there's a reward for it. And so too, for every step the Ribono Shel Olam brought us through, for every chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu showered upon us, We have to give hodah. Lahodos lahalal. And in fact, Rav Salvechik says in Hare Kedem Chelek Beis, Rav Salvechik says, do you understand the message of Dayenu? Do you understand how central this is to all of Pesach? Because what did we just say, Chevra? We just said Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the end game. It wasn't the end of the road. Yetzias Mitzrayim was just the beginning. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the beginning. He was supposed to bring us to Kabbalah Satorah, supposed to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. It's only when you go through all the 15 steps, you see what the end game is. You know what the end game is? The Beis HaBechira. The end game is a Beis HaMikdash. That's the end game. And it wasn't the first Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't the second, the end game is the third Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Soloveitchik says, from the very fact that it's a Zechiyah of Lahodus Elhalel on Seder night, it's teaching us the same lesson of Dayenu according to the Malbim. That on every step of the way, we have to give Shevach V'Hodah to the Ribono Shel Olam. And it's in fact one of the brachos that we say every morning. It's one of the Birchos HaShachar. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechin Mitzadei Gavar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the step of a person. As Rav Malach Biderman Shlita, the great Mashpia of Klal Yisrael, taught, when a person says, Asher Mechin Mitzadei Gavar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the steps of a person, it means you have to believe that every step you take, you know, if you have your Fitbit, right, and you're counting up your steps, I'm getting demolished on my steps these days. I am not meeting my 10,000 step goal. I am embarrassed to say how few steps I'm getting every day. Whatever, not pashut. But lemaisa, you have to know every step. When you count how many steps in my 7,948 steps I took today, every step the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me. Every step is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In my makir tov that I was able to take 7,948 steps, I want to share with you a story. Longtime Springfielders, Talmidim of our yeshiva will certainly remember this story because it's a story that impacted me so deeply, a story that I've repeated often. Every year to my Bruria Talmidos, I've said this story. So if any of you are on the line, you're going to remember this story. And I just used it in a shir, I don't know when. I've been giving a lot of shir, a lot of different places. I mean, all in the same place, all my dining room or my study or downstairs. But I don't know who I said this to. But there is a camper in Camp Hass named Meyer Greenberger. Meyer Greenberger is from Brooklyn, New York. Meyer Greenberger, of the campers in Hask, is one of the most intellectually advanced campers in Hask. I had a chavrusa with Meyer and two other fellows, all with CP, all in wheelchairs. We used to learn Mishnayos during the break. We were Messiah, Mesachas, Brachos, Mishnayos one summer. Me and three campers in Hask. And they learned it. We learned it together. And Meyer Greenberger had CP. He was in a wheelchair. He really didn't have much control of his body. His head would sway back and forth. His speech was very garbled. His hands was curled up in balls, but he was able to stick out his index finger, and he had a big facilitation board and keyboard in front of him, and Meyer could type out letters. I remember one of the summers that I was there, he was typing out a letter to Mayor Giuliani, I believe he was typing. No, it wasn't Giuliani. Who was it then? I forgot who the mayor was when I was in camp, and Meyer was typing out a letter to him for more funding for special needs programs in the special needs community. And I still remember, I was in Hask for four summers. I don't remember Meyer typing this Dvar Torah the first summer, but for three summers I heard this Dvar Torah being read by one of Meyer's counselors. And it was Shabbos. Meyer would be wheeled up in front of the dining room in Camp Hask. This is when it was in the Beis Medrash, what's now the Beis Medrash, then was the dining room. And his obviously mechanical, his electric wheelchair didn't work on Shabbos. He was pushed by one of his counselors, and the counselor then took the paper and said that, announced to everyone, Meyer wrote this Dvar Torah. I am just giving it on Meyer's behalf. And what was the Dvar Torah? Meyer Greenberger started off by saying, Good Shabbos, Camp Hask. Good Shabbos, Meyer. And he said, you know, you give me and my fellow campers such a gift by giving us such a fun and amazing summer. I want to give everyone here a gift back. And he said, I want you all to look at me, and I want you to take a mental snapshot of me. And I want you to take this mental snapshot, and I want you to store it in your brain. And whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling sad, this is Mamash Dvar Torah that the counselor was reading. He said, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling sad, I want you to take the mental snapshot of me out. I want you to look at it, and I want you to ask yourself three questions. First question, when you want to get across a room, what do? You can stand up and walk across a room. I can't do that. Second question, when you want to get your friend's attention, what do? You just call out your friend's name, Kobe, right? Mayor, Erica, you just call out your friend's name. You call them, you get their attention, right? He says, I can't do that. the third. It was a little bit uncomfortable, but this is what he said. This is what Meyer typed. He says, when you need to go to the bathroom, you get up and you go to the bathroom. He said, I can't go to the bathroom without my counselors helping me. He says, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling sad for yourself, I want you to take out the mental snapshot you have of me. Ask yourself those three questions, and I hope that'll make you feel better. I hope that'll help you recognize all of the gifts that Hashem has given you, and it'll make you in a better mood. Good Shabbos. What a lesson of Dayenu, Chevra. But as Rabbi Soloveitchik said, this is, do you see where Dayenu is in the structure of Magid? Dayenu is, in fact, what? Dayenu is part Sipur and it's part Shevach. Because we're right before Dayenu in the Haggadah, we just finished talking about the Makos. We just left Egypt. And what does Dayenu do? The Maharal Miprag says there are three sections Dayenu. Each one has five milos. Each one has five things. And it's already a little bit, going a little bit late. I see I'm not going to be able to do everything. But what we do is, and what I'd love for you to do, is for you to look at Dayenu now. We still have time before Pesach. And I want you to come up with your own 15 stanza Dayenu for Pesach this year. That's the homework that I have for everyone listening and everyone that's going to listen to this recording. I want everyone here to come up with your 15 stanza Dayenu. The Maharal breaks down that there are three parts to Dayenu. The first five is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second five are about Nisim, miracles, that Hashem has lifted Klal Yisrael above nature. And the third set of five is about the relationship that Hashem has created with us, His beloved people, His beloved children, Bnei Bechori Yisrael. And when we think about Dayenu during these times, what we have to recognize, as a Rebbe of mine, who was my Madrich when I was in Gush, Rav Menachem Liebtech Shlita, points out, that Pesach, the Pshat on Pesach, is not that we're supposed to remember that Hashem saved us. On Pesach, we're supposed to remember why Hashem saved us. Not that Hashem saved us, but why Hashem saved us. And that's why the end game is the Beis HaMikdash. Because the end game is the Makom, the home that we build together with the Ribono Shel Olam. The home that we're all in now. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socha means the homes that you're sitting in right now. But even more, as we said, I don't know how long ago, last week, 2 weeks, I don't even know time now, that we said that v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socha is yourself. This yourself, that you have to make yourself into a mishkan for Ashras Hashchina. As the Medrash tells us, in Parshas Vayishlach Vayivaser Yaakov Levado Vayavek Ish Imo Adalos HaShachar, the nisk of Hashem levado, that just like Yaakov was alone, Hashem was alone. And as we've discussed many times, our Gedalia, Rabbi Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, Zechus Yagin Aleinu, points out that the aloneness of Yaakov Avinu was mirrored by the aloneness of God. And when we find ourselves this year in situations that we weren't expecting, when we find ourselves at Siddurim this year, that I can't imagine any person listening right now is going to be having the Seder you thought you were having this year. I'm sure not. I'm sure no one is expecting to have the Seder that they're expecting to have this year. But what we have to recognize again is, what is the end game? Pesach is not just about the freedom. Pesach is not just about the celebration. Pesach is not about the Yetziyah and the miracles. Pesach ultimately is about the relationship that we are zocha to have with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Pesach ultimately is all about, Chevra. And the question is, despite the difficulties that we have this year, how are we going to sing Dayenu? How are you going to sing your personal Dayenu this year? And yes, this is a story that I've said over in Shul. I actually said this story in Congregation of Israel of Springfield, I think in my first Shabbos Haggadol Drasha, 18 years ago. That was about, not Dayenu, it was about Hallel. But I don't think anyone's going to remember that, don't worry. But I think I've used it in some shiurim since. But it's a story, true story, of a fellow that our family knows that raises tens of thousands of dollars every year. I mean, during the Intifada, during the spate of terrorist bombings, even more. And on his own dime, he'd fly to Eretz Yisrael and give out thousands and thousands of dollars. Mamash. Whatever he collected from friends in Brooklyn, Long Island, and other places, he would just give that all out. Mamash, just give it all out to people. And whatever the cost of the trip was, that was on him. And one of his trips that he had a number of years ago, maybe it was the beginning of the second, maybe it was the middle of the second Intifada, maybe 2003, I don't know exactly when it was, but this was considerable time ago, that he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was on a three-day trip, just to give out about close to $100,000. You know, maybe it was during the war up north. This might have been like 2006, 2008, I don't remember exactly. And he was going all over the country in 3 days. In between the second and third day, he realized he hadn't been to the Kotel, and he didn't know that he was going to get to the Kotel, because the next day he was going up north to give out a lot of money, and from there he was probably going to go straight to Ben-Gurion to come back to America for Shabbos. So the person, the driver that he hired to take him all around, all his trips, he told him, as he was getting back to his hotel, like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, you know what, go to the Kotel. This might be my only chance to be there. Let me just, I realize I didn't daven Maariv. Let me go daven and say something to him. Because tomorrow, probably straight from up north, you're going to take me back to the airport. And so he heads down to the Kotel, and he goes to daven. There are very, very few people there. But as he approaches the Kotel, he notices there's a Hasidic Shiyid who's mamish bawling, who's crying his eyes out. And he goes up to the guy before he even starts. He says, Rabbi Yid, is there everything okay? Can I help you with anything? And he says, no, I'm okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your asking. So he davens Maariv. But during his Shema, during his Shemoneh Esrei, he's hearing this guy sobbing. He's hearing this guy bawling. Mamish. So he goes up to him after finishing Shemoneh Esrei. He's like, Rabbi Yid, I'm from America. I have a lot of money to give out. Is there anything I can help you with? Just give me the name of a person that can vouch for you. I have a lot of money on me. I can help you out, whatever it is. He goes, no, thank you. Mamish, it's so special that you're here doing this. I'm okay, thank you. The fellow says some tehillim. He's done. And this Hasidic Shiyid is stood by the coast cell, crying. Mamish, face up against the wall, still crying. This fellow goes up to him and says, Rabbi Yid, listen, I'm about to leave. I might never see you again. You want to tell me what's wrong and maybe I can help you? And the Hasidic Shiyid looks at him and he says, no, you misunderstand my tears. He said, I just made the chasana of my eighth child, my final child, to marry off. He said, I just came to say thank you today, Bishter. I just came to thank Hashem for all the chesed that he's done for me and my wife in our lifetime. And I'm just here saying thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Chevra, I want to share with you a teaching from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, one of the Gedolei HaKabbalah. I quote him very, very often. I've given eitzes from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter. He was my older son's moel. He was a person that just sounds crazy. Like 5 weeks ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, was that 5 weeks ago? Parashas Mishpatim. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was zocha to go to Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter with a whole chevra from our Kehila Kedosha that were in Eretz Yisrael at the same time. Rav Willi, Benji, Rav Aryeh, Eitan Adler. We went to Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter together to get brachas from him. So Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, a number of years ago, he taught me a Yesod Gadol. This was during the economic downturn in 2008. That when I went to Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter and I said to him, Rebbe, there are people that need parnasa, they need shefa, they need bracha. Rebbe, what should they do? What's the segula? What's the eitzah? And Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter said, you know why the and many know this. I've said this many times. I've spoken about his sefer, right? Hamivarech Yisparech, the one that blesses will be blessed. He holds the biggest segula, saying 100 brachas a day. And I know that this has gotten a lot of press because, in fact, it's the avoda of the month of Adar, according to many tzaddikim, and many say that from the tour, all Bria Talmidos should remember this, the tour says that it was Mesukah, and the 100 brachos was set up by David HaMelech and his Bezdin when there was a Magefa, to remove a Magefa from the Jewish people. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter explained to me then, he goes, why is that such a powerful segula to say 100 brachos? And he goes, and if a person's having problems with Parnassa, Birchas Hamazon from a bencher out loud, Bekavana Malaya, should be taking time and thinking carefully and slowly when you're benching. But why is that? He goes, because it's Pashat. You don't need any grace of Chachmas. This isn't deep Kabbalah, he told me. You know what it is? Every parent wants to give a child who appreciates what it is that they're given. When you have a child who appreciates what he or she is given, and is makir tov to the parent, and says thank you to the parent, that's the one the parent wants to give to. The parent wants to bestow incredible blessings on such a child. An ungrateful child that doesn't know how to be makir tov, a parent of course gives, a parent loves, but does the parent give with the same shefa? Does a parent give with the same unfettered bounty? And Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, he told me, go back to America and share this segula with everyone. That the Eibishter wants to hear the thank yous. The Eibishter wants to see that we appreciate every little thing. And when the Eibishter sees that we appreciate every little thing, mamish kol neshima neshima, dayenu dayenu dayenu, it would be enough at each step to say thank you. What's your dayenu? What's your dayenu that you and your family are healthy? What's your dayenu that you have a roof over your head? Your dayenu is that you have food for Pesach, that you have matzah, that you have wine. Your dayenu is that your home is not freezing. What's the dayenu you have? Because you should know, chevra. I'm not advertising for this, but I just gave to a GoFundMe page for the workers and Zach the Baker in Miami. Zach the Baker is a Marcus family favorite, maybe our favorite, you know, haunt to go to. Those that go to Miami are smiling right now because they know Zach the Baker. And the staff there is so sweet. And Zach the Baker had to lay off 14 people. And they started a GoFundMe page for the workers for Zach the Baker because they don't know how they're paying their bills. They don't know how they're going to eat. In the bagel store in Springfield, I was talking to Manny, the owner of the shop. And I said, Manny, how can you stay open? He goes, Rabbi, if I close, some of my workers aren't going to eat. I said, Manny told me, Rabbi, I have enough. I can get through this a month, 2 months. He said, but Rabbi, I have workers. He didn't use the word pashut, but he said, pashut, they're not going to eat. I'm staying open, he said, to pay my workers. Chevra, I'll call Neshima, every drop of food that goes in. If you're going to have a yontif, that you're in a home, that there's heat, and you have matzah, and you have wine, you're going to say thank you? How are you going to say thank you? And even if you can't be together with children and grandchildren, I know it's painful, and I know it's painful for my children not to be with their grandparents, and it is, it's painful for us. This isn't the Seder we wanted. And it's painful for me not to be with you. I'll tell you, you know what, whenever I did staff training for many summers that my family and I were zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael with my parents, with my siblings, I would normally do a day of staff training at NCSY Kollel. And one of the yesodos that I shared with the madrichim in NCSY Kollel is, please do not go into Avodas HaKodesh because you want to save Hashem's children. Please don't go into Avodas HaKodesh because you want to do God any favors. Please don't go into Avodas HaKodesh to have time to learn, because I'm pretty sure I'd have more time to learn if I went into accounting or business. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident. Certainly before the times that a lot of people like to learn, like before Yom Noraim and before Pesach, I certainly think, even if I was an accountant and it was busy season, I still think I would have more time to learn if I wasn't a rabbi. But you know why you do this? Because you love people. And I miss you so much. It's unbelievable. You know, by chance, I had a chance to schmooze with Chaim Schwartz the other day for a couple of minutes outside. And I came back in and I remembered thinking how much I miss just interacting with people in person. Because this is geschmack, Hever, but I love to learn together in person with you. this is a pale substitute for the opportunity to just be in your presence, to share Torah with you. I don't like doing these video shiurim and putting stuff online. I develop Torah. I come up with ideas because I want to share it with you in person and I want to connect that way. But chevra, what we have to know is dayenu. It's dayenu where we are. And we have to sing to the Ribbono Shel Olam B'Lev Shalem with tears coming down our cheeks day or night that we're healthy. Hashem should continue that we should be healthy. Because we know in Lel Seder, it's a night of tremendous, tremendous tefillah. It's a night, Rav Soloveitchik said, the two exalted evenings all year, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, are called Nidre night and the Lel HaSeder, a time of tefillah. Tzadikim talk about the koach of Seder night. And yes, Purim, we know Purim also, and the Ishbitzer says that the Dalet Kosos on the Seder, it's because it's a continuation of Purim, of Ad Delo Yada. And Chevra, I ask you, please remember this teaching of the Malbim. I apologize, it's already long. I'm already keeping you too long. You have to be mochel me. But there are many other Torahs to continue to share. But what we have to know is what the end game is. The end game, remember, is not Yitzias Mitzrayim. It wasn't even Kabbalah Satorah. It wasn't Knisas Haaretz. The end game is the Beis HaBechira. That's what we want. That's what we're davening for. But we have to know that without a Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaBechira is right here, Chevra. This is where it is. This is the house that Hashem has chosen for us now. And we have to sing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to give thanks to the Eibishter. And this is my bracha to each and every one of us here. That Dayenu, that each and every step we have to be Makir Tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every step that we have, every whip that we are, we have to remember all of the good that Hashem has done for us, all the good that Hashem is doing for us in a year when it's so difficult, in a year when we feel just totally desolate, in a year that nothing seems to be going right, and Rachman Litzlan, their tzaras all over. In such a year, we have to be mispalel even harder to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I heard my good chaver tov of Eli Zwickler Shlita. He shared with me a teaching from the Barbanel that why is it that before Dayenu, it's a teaching from Rabbi Akiva, right? We mentioned Rabbi Akiva more in the Seder than we do Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's another time. But why is it, the Barbanel says, why is it that we mention Rabbi Akiva right before Dayenu? Because Rabbi Akiva is the one that teaches us how to sing Dayenu. Because Rabbi Akiva was a person who lived his life during time of incredible religious persecution. He's a person that suffered from immense poverty. We know how much his wife Rachel suffered for his Torah learning. Mamish, they suffered tremendously. And Rabbi Akiva, do we even have to say what the end of Rabbi Akiva was? Lom de'daf hayom, we know the Gemara at the end of Brachos. And we all know the Gemara at the end of Brachos because of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. When we tell the story of what happens to Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva learned from his Rebbe Nochem Ish Gamzu, Gamzu Latova, that everything that happens, we have to be Makir Tov, we have to look for the Tov in it. And that is the greatest segula for us during this Tekufa. It's good for us emotionally, psychologically. It's good for us physically. But most of all, it's one of the greatest things we could do for ourselves spiritually. To sing a full-throated Dayenu. But to be able to do that, Chevra, we have to be Mechen now, we have to prepare now for Seder night. And please write your 15-step Dayenu. Start working on it right now. And share it with whoever you're having your Seder with. And if you're only having the Seder with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because I know there are people on here that are mamish, it's just going to be them and the Ribbono Shel Olam at their Seder. Share it with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the most important one to share it with. To share your 15-step Dayenu with the Eibishter. Even if Chas V'Shalom, I'm sorry that there's no Mashiach, and you're still going to be having your Seder by yourself. Sing those 15 stanzas. Sing those 15 steps of Dayenu Hashem. It's enough to sing praise the whole night to you that I'm here in a home and I'm safe. It's worth it the whole night to sing praise to you that I have food on my table. That my children, even though they're not with me, they're healthy. That my grandchildren, even though they're not with me, they're healthy. And that, as Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter taught us, is the greatest mafteach. It's the greatest key to opening up further brachas from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chevra, Hashem should bless us all, and I bless you, and we should all bless each other. That we should be able to open up our hearts, we should be able to open up our eyes, open up our mind, but most of all, open up our mouth. Because that's what we have to do on Seder night. We have to open up our mouth, and we have to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to talk to the Eibishter. Like he's the lover who is, like the loved one who cares so much and passionately wants to be with us. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we start the Avoda already now, if we start the Avoda tonight, then maybe, just maybe, Chevra, maybe we will be together for Seder. Maybe we all will be together at the Beis HaMikdash having our shawarma of a lafa and roasted lamb and some lettuce. That would be pretty geschmack, no? But I hope that the words I share tonight, again, it's for us to take it in. Please think about what I'm saying, as I gave a shiur earlier this week. It's not to go in here and come out here. Revolbi said that was the problem. Talmidim, he'd give a shmooze, it would go in one ear and come out the other. It goes in one ear and has to go down to the heart and stay there. What I'm saying tonight are dvarim hayotzim min halev. They're words that are coming from my heart, and they're words that I know I have to work on. I know that I've been so hectic in running around that I haven't been makir tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam enough for all the blessings that he's given me. And it's something that I plan on working on, on Shabbos. I'm not going to write it down on Shabbos, but I hope that's when my phone's not going to ring on Shabbos. I hope my phone's not going to ring on Shabbos. And Be'ezus Hashem, Devarim Hayotzim and Halev, words coming out from my heart, Nechnasim El Halev, I hope it can go into your heart. And I hope that wherever we are, we have mamish, the most heilig, the most tayer, the most holy and pure Pesach. A Pesach that'll bring tremendous joy to Avinu Shebashamayim. And if Chas V'Shalom Mashiach isn't here by this Pesach, the Pesach we're going to give Hashem is going to make sure that next year we're all going to be together in Yerushalayim Havenuya. Have a good Shabbos, have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. If I don't speak to you before, I care about each of you deeply. And Be'ezus Hashem, I look forward to learning with you in person, B'karov Mamash. Have a good Shabbos, have a good Yontif, have a good night, Chevra. With much love.